The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy. How you doing, Kelly? Good morning, man.
Doing well. Back in action, baby.
Well, let's first thank
Welcome
Matt.
Back to town.
Let's thank Mateo Brown, Matt Brown. I hope everybody got to enjoy Matt. Matt is fantastic, by the way, for those who didn't get the memo. So thrilled that he was able to sit in here for 3 days. I'm sure you guys had a gay old time, a little primetime action reunion.
Mm-hmm. A lot of NFL talk, yep.
A lot of NFL talk. We have a lot of NFL talk today. Eric Eager, Dr. Eric Eager, will be in studio with us today. Hour number one, followed by the crack man, unscripted in studio. Hour number two. So a lot of football talk with Dr. Eager. Nothing but physicians on this show, Kelly. Today, Dr. Eager. Tomorrow, Dr. Bob.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe we'll fix your sciatica.
Both physicians, yes.
Just nothing but physicians on this show. That's what we do. Physicians in sports betting. I want to get to a whole bunch of stuff here, but I went away to join the ATP Tour so I could get some guaranteed money, baseline money. That's a huge seismic shift on the ATP Tour, guaranteeing money for top-ranked players up to the top 250 players in the world. We will not talk U.S. Open today because the draw happens right after this show. So Drew Dinsick and I are going to do a Beating the Book podcast on the U.S. Open later today after the draw is announced. Literally, I think it happens right after we get off the air for the singles, men and women. So we will do that in podcast form later on. I was in D.C. with my mom. I want to check on my mom. Watch little Ravens commandeers with her.
Ooh, big night.
Yeah.
Big night in D.C.
Big night. We've known somebody since he was a little boy. My nephew who was trying to make the Ravens team. So we were watching it together. And my mother, who is, if nothing but consistent, at one point shouts out, "Which outfit is he in, the red one or the black one?" I was like, "Well, there's white. I don't know what you're talking about." This, of course, is a descendant of when she watched it when we went to the Seattle Supersonics Washington Bullets NBA Championship in the late 70s. I was a little boy. And she proclaimed very loudly in warmups, "Which side are the Redskins on?" And I wanted to die on the spot. So that hasn't changed. So at that point, I was like, I got to come back. I want to say a few PSAs about sports betting here before we get into, obviously, Shohei news and Trey Lance and Eric Eager and all that stuff that happened, which is a little less sports betting related. First, let's talk real quick about the golf tournament that is about to start a little more than an hour from now. Now, I'm sure you and Matt talked about this because you guys are, if nothing else, golf first. I don't know if you guys know this, but you guys are the host of Long Shots along with Wes Reynolds.
Factual.
Available where all podcasts are distributed.
Yep.
So the Tour Championship is today. It is the third leg of the FedEx Cup. We've talked about this for years on this show. Some of you may remember when I had Brooks Koepka for the FedEx Cup some years back, and then Rory got him like in the back nine, and we made an in-play bet, and it's just a fantastic sort of arc to bet into. But now we're at the third leg of this three-legged FedEx Cup, the Tour Championship, which is, as it has been for years, starts with positions. So Scottie Scheffler's at 10 under, plus 130 is his number at DraftKings. That's to win the Tour Championship. Victor Hovland is two behind him at 8 under. Excuse me, that's to win the FedEx Cup, in other words. Pardon me. Scottie Scheffler's at 10 under, plus 130 to win the FedEx Cup. Victor Hovland starts two strokes behind him at 8 under. He's 5-1 to win it. Rory McIlroy, three strokes back, 7 under at plus 330. Then Rahman Glover at 6 under and 5 under. Glover, unbelievable. And then it's a whole bunch of guys at 4, at 3 under, and so on and so forth. You probably know this format. This year it went 70, 50, and now 30 golfers in this tournament. And the PSA is, once again, I'm sure you and Matt talked about this, but it's worth doing once again an hour before these guys tee off roughly. Just know what you're betting today, because there's going to be two different markets. One is what we just quoted, which is to win the FedEx Cup with a staggered leaderboard start, if you will, where Scheffler is already in the driver's seat, ergo the plus 130, two strokes ahead of the field, Victor Hovland specifically. Don't make the mistake of betting the wrong thing, because there will be another market today that is to bet the Tour Championship. Who will win just the Tour Championship? Who will have the low score in this particular event?
That is the low 72-hole score.
The low 72-hole score, which is different from the FedEx Cup. And so I don't know how you feel, Kelly, but like I would shy away generally from betting the 72-hole event, because if you're at the bottom half of that top of the 30 field, of the 30-player field, the money increments aren't that different. And so you don't know how those players are going to treat it as the tournament goes on. Maybe they'll just go for broke, trying to get way higher. Maybe they won't care at that point. Same thing holds true for Scheffler. If he gets out to a big start, he may just pack it in and chill. And so he won't care about winning the 72-hole tournament. He's just looking for the 15 mil for the FedEx Cup. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I didn't bet anything in the winter without without the starting strokes market, that low 72-hole market. I didn't bet anything there. But to your point, I think the only way you'd be looking there is if you're looking at someone to make a long shot, you know, comeback in this tournament. Anyways, you'd be taking a longer shot price in that market.
Yeah.
But I think it is. Yeah, Matt and I discussed a lot of the monetary stuff is big because you get into that. Like top 10 range, every spot starts changing by like 500K, a mil, as you get up to that, closer to number one. But if you're at the back end of that 30,
not a big difference.
It's like 40K a spot. So,
which is a dime and a nickel for those guys.
Right, exactly. So I think for the way at least I approached this week, it was like stay away from some tournament matchups because you don't know what motivations are going to be different near the end of it. All I did was play... I played two for the top 10 market because that made sense to me at least. Hey, if you're going to be going, you're going to try to get into that top 10 money no matter what. So I did play Russell Henley and Tom Kim at plus 145 and plus 250 respectively in those markets. And then I took Scottie Scheffler at plus 145,
I think. To win the FedEx Cup.
To win the FedEx Cup, win the Tour Championship with the starting strokes.
Okay. So just know what you're betting. That's PSA number one. PSA number two is we're having Dr. Bob on tomorrow. It's his annual college football season win totals appearance. Now, when he released them on Wednesday, these moved so quickly. The juice moved very quickly, not necessarily the games. So a lot of these are going to be out of his range in terms of what he would recommend to play. He'll still come on tomorrow and we'll talk about what's still playable and what's not. So it's always, by the way, of all the things we do yearly, it is the most reliable winner year after year. And I'm not just talking about like squeaking out a win. I'm talking about he'll go 6-0, 6-1, like it's just year after year after year. So we'll talk about that. One of the public service announcement I want to give is while those have moved out of his price range, you can still bet some of those teams that he has season win totals on in week one, specifically markets in terms of the games they played. Those haven't moved. So if you take a Central Michigan, for instance, which just, spoiler alert, that's going to be one of his plays tomorrow. Central Michigan's line was it a 15-point dog? I believe they're playing Michigan State in week one. That hasn't really moved. So there's a different way to play. Even if you shy away from some of the season win totals because you're like, well, I don't want to play it. Bob said it. The price is too far out of whack. I don't want to, you know, lay minus. I'll just make up a number. Minus 210 when it was minus 135, let's say, when he released it at that number. Some of you are still going to play it, I understand. There's still a way to exploit it by playing that specific team in a week one game. So that's PSA number two. PSA number three, and they are playing Michigan State, of course, on September 1st.
15-point. Favorite for Michigan State, 49 or total.
Yeah, that has not moved. Maybe a tick it's moved to 14.5, but still would be playable, you know, as a cousin, as a cousin to that season win total conviction. PSA number three is I went yesterday, I made a whole bunch of NFL bets, which we'll get to later, Kelly, and I did sign up for Circa Survivor and Circa Millions, which of course I do every year. Circa Millions, I just do one. And as I'm giving them my entry fee, I'm like, here you go. Here's my donation.
It will be 1-1 for me this year, Gil. It will be the same thing.
Yeah. Enjoy, Circa. Here's
$2,000.
Here's my $1,000.
I had fun.
So I, you know, it went up from a max six entries in Survivor this year to 10. Last year, I played 5 out of the 6. And this year, I was thinking, I was like, all right, well, it's going to be 10. I'll play somewhere close to 10. Everybody, you know, everybody's going to play 10. And then I started thinking to myself, I was like, but that's never how you viewed this. And I've said this 1,000 times on this show. I believe there's redundancy in Survivor. And I believe those people who have 10 entries versus, let's say, 5 are not going to win based on that. They're going to win based on how they play it anyway. And that there is a useless redundancy at some point in Survivor. Let's say there was a maximum of 50. You can't tell me having 50 versus, 20 is that much better off either. By the way, there's no right answer, I suppose. This is just my humble opinion on this, but I feel strongly that there's definitely a point where it's too many. So I feel like the people who have 8 or 10 are just going to burn them anyway, and we'll be even in entries by the end of September. Or put another way, I don't know that having multiple entries at Thanksgiving is a function of how many you start with. Because if you have 10, what are you doing? Are you going Bob DeLuca, 10 all in? Well, that's not the way to play, right? Or are you going 4-3-3? Well, you're just going to burn more quickly.
Right.
So I ended up with five. Well, I ended up getting five.
Right, for you, you go from 5 to 10. Does that just mean you're going to have double what you would have on one team?
Exactly.
And then they all go down at the same time anyway.
Exactly. So I ended up with five.
I think it's an interesting test case, though, for you this year, right? Yeah. You could maybe keep track
of it. That's right. Talk to me at the end of September, I'm like, well, I should have done 10.
Right, keep track of what would you have done with 10 this week instead of the five that you have, and then you roll into next year a little bit more educated.
So I ended up with five. In Survivor, one in millions. The other thing I want to say is, because we emphasize this every year, they still have that rule week one where you can buy back in after the Thursday night game, right? So you don't have to max entry before Thursday, right? You could play Detroit. They're at Kansas City. If they win, you'll be in an advantageous position. Don't necessarily have to buy in more. And if you lose, it's cool because you can pair it with a KC Moneyline bet, let's say. And just rebuy if you wanted to, especially if, by the way, you like Detroit as a handicap play week one, then it really makes sense. So again, all these just sort of betting and contest betting PSAs just to start the show. We'll get back with Eric Eager on football next. Oh, Trey Lance. Oh, Jonathan Taylor. That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older. Physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. As always, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin is here as well. The biggest football stories, of course. Well, one, the Colts, in case you missed it, have given Jonathan Taylor now until Tuesday to find a suitable trade after authorizing their star running back earlier this week to engage with other teams in search of a trade partner. Six teams have inquired about Taylor's availability, and two of them have engaged the Colts with offers, including the Miami Dolphins, that source telling ESPN on Wednesday. And then the other big story, of course, the 49ers, in case you missed this, they're going with Sam Darnold after much offseason speculation that he was having a great camp. Sam Darnold is their number two behind Brock Purdy. That per Kyle Shanahan yesterday, the team will explore all options with Trey Lance, the number three pick in the 2021 NFL draft, who, as you recall, the Niners sent the kitchen for. For Trey Lance, specifically three first-round picks, along with a 2022 third-rounder that turned into, by the way, to the Dolphins, that turned into Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and Bradley Chubb. It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait to see what team is able to grab Trey Lance for a sixth-round pick or whatever it ends up being.
Well, they have three options, right? They keep him as their third stringer. They trade him, which is less of a cap hit than cutting him, which is a massive cap hit. If only we had someone we could talk about all of this with in studio. What do you know we do? Dr. Eric Eager from Sumer Sports joins us, VP at Sumer Sports, host of the Sumer Sports Show, in studio for the first time. You can follow him on Twitter at @EricEager_. Don't forget the underscore. Was there an Eric Eager without the underscore?
There is, actually. There's like a politician in Texas with the same name as me.
Really?
Yeah, it's like a state senator, House of Representatives, or something. So yeah, we had to differentiate ourselves.
Could you imagine, if, like back in the day, he was trying to work at PFF. Also, he's like, God, this Eric Eager, he's got my PFF handle as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting time moving from the PFF underscore because every permutation of Eric Eager without the underscore was taken. So we had to go with that.
We're happy you're here. Thanks for making the trip down. You're staying on the Strip, I would imagine?
Circa, actually.
Oh, at Circa.
Yeah,
nice.
We're doing that sign-up weekend.
Oh, sweet.
That's right, yep.
What about the two stories? By the way, have you met Eric in person, Kelly, ever? This is the first time
for
you too?
No, I've been bugging him for 5 years. You know, he's been great coming on Primetime Action, Green Zone, a numbers game. At least I don't believe, he probably wouldn't say it in person, but I don't believe for a second that at least once a month he sees his phone ring and sees my name, and he's like, God, this guy.
This geez. Guy. Bidlin. What about those two stories that we just talked about? First of all, let's talk about the Jonathan Taylor one. Where would he end up, in your opinion, that would have the most impact?
Yeah, the biggest impact, it's hard to look at it and say it would have a positive impact much of anywhere other than maybe Chicago. Chicago's got the cap space. Chicago's got the picks. Hopefully that doesn't mean that they would actually use something like a first rounder, which I know Ursay was going after there. Buffalo is always linked to these top end running backs, but they never end up going for them. I think that they're sharper than that.
Is that what it is? They're sharper than that.
Yeah, I think Buffalo is very intelligent. It's a funny story. Actually, when I was a professor, I taught a stats class out of a textbook that was written by the guy who runs the analytics at Buffalo now. So it's kind of like a cool little connection there. So I whenever they make a move, I'm always like, oh, I can see where his name's Dennis. I can see what Dennis is, his impact here, which is really cool. And
sharper than that, let me just define, meaning that the value between the value from one running back to the next is not nearly as wide of a gap as the market makes it.
Right. And a lot of people are looking at Buffalo and saying like, look, and we talked about Buffalo last week. They look at Buffalo and they say, God, if they can only get a running game. And then they're like, the solution is a running back, a lot of people say. And, of course, that's actually not true. It's like scheme and then the five offensive linemen and then it's game script, right? So a lot of times teams have bad running games because they're behind more. In Buffalo last year, that wasn't necessarily the case, but it was just like their running game has been kind of a little less than optimal in the last few years. And everybody said, oh, they're going to go after Breece Hall, if you remember that last year. They're going to go after Dalvin Cook to go with his brother James Cook and so forth. And really all that they've done is trade for Nyheim Hines. They've drafted James Cook. They got Damian Harris this year. I think that's going to be enough for them. He would obviously positively benefit them, but they're a team that's kind of pushed their chips into the middle, and taking away another draft pick, adding another salary would be tough for them.
And for those who missed you last week, you love Buffalo.
I like Buffalo. I think that relative to market numbers, they're a little bit underrated. I think that when you look at Josh Allen, it's funny. You always look back and you say, like, how much do we overreact to one-game samples? And there's like that, you can test it. It's like one-game samples basically don't have an influence over the outcome of any one game, right? So you look at, the being a six-point favorite against Cincinnati in week, was it 20 of the NFL season? They go, they get beat soundly. And we all say, well, that's the end for Buffalo. When in reality, it's like one draw of a random, of a roulette wheel over here, And it's like, I think that everybody's over-indexed on Cincinnati. Obviously, Kansas City won the Super Bowl. They deserve a lot of respect. And some of the teams in the NFC, but I think Buffalo is the underrated elite team.
All right. By the way, Buffalo plus 450 to win the AFC. Only the Chiefs are shorter. Bengals at plus 550. Everybody else double digits. What about what we just talked about, that Miami is the one team identified that is engaged with the Colts? Now, that's not a Josh Allen situation. That's a Tua situation. That would seem to me to matter there, wouldn't it?
Well, and it looks like Devin Achane was injured in this last week, and I have to go back and look at how serious that was. But they missed out on Dalvin Cook. They have Mostert, Jeff Wilson, two guys from the Niners regime coming over, and then Achane was taken in the draft and probably screwed up their opportunity to get Dalvin Cook after the post June 1. So they are kind of looking for a veteran running back, and he could obviously do well. I think the issue with Miami is like without Teron Armstead, without Jalen Ramsey. I feel like they think that they have to go all in a little bit more, because when you look at this division, other than Buffalo, every team in this division is do or die, I think, right? If those teams don't make the playoffs, they're stuck. And so when you think about, this is how the good GMs like Howie Roseman and all them, they make a lot of value because they know they're going to have a five-year window. They can accumulate picks, and they look at GMs like the one like Greer in Miami, and they say, this guy doesn't give a crap about 2 years from now, because if he has a job by then, it's gravy, right? So then that's kind of how you can get these mismatches. And I think with Indianapolis, with Taylor, I think that they're going to want to accumulate picks because that roster's atrophied a little bit, and maybe they can take advantage of Miami.
Yeah, I would imagine it would move the betting market a bit as well. Quarterbacks are obviously the one that we know matter the most, but I would imagine some people, enough people out there will be like, oh my God, Jonathan Taylor, if he ends up with Miami, that would induce a lot of bets from a lot of people.
Yeah, I'd have to do the study on this, but I think obviously a quarterback who's kind of in that second, third tier, you know, other players might move the betting line. If Jonathan Taylor goes to Kansas City, like, nothing's changing,
right?
Because right? nothing matters other than Mahomes.
Jonathan Taylor to the Dolphins wouldn't trigger a bet from me, but I'm saying I think there's a lot of people out there.
I think it would change the odds just slightly because the thing about running is like the benefit of running is enhanced when you're a better team, and the Miami Dolphins could end up being a better team this year even with those injuries that I talked about.
This has less to do with betting, but let's just keep it on the Dolphins. The Dolphins were the ones who got the haul from the Niners in the Trey Lance deal. And again, turned it into Tyreek Hill, Jaylen Waddle, and Bradley Chubb. I mean, that's epic. Would they want Trey Lance? Like, I mean, could you imagine that? If they're like, oh, by the way, now we'll take Trey Lance.
It would be an all-timer, wouldn't it? I mean, it was like Dallas, when Dallas traded Herschel Walker to the Vikings for like 7 draft picks and 5 players, and then Herschel ended up going back as a free agent like 4 or 5 years later.
That's right.
And it's just like, you're like, oh, this is like double, right? I feel like for Miami, it would be turning the screws to the Niners. Now, I will say this, like, a lot of people are giving Shanahan and Lynch a lot of flack for this. And granted, the one decision in a vacuum looks terrible. They still win.
Yes.
And I think, you know, when you think about, oh, they got lucky with Brock Purdy. Well, you have to select a quarterback late to get lucky on him. So there's a little bit of process there. You know, I'm back and forth on the Niners. I think that they do a lot of things really smart. I think then they take a kicker in round 3 and trade up for him. So that's kind of where I get. But I do think people kind of need to back off the Niners a little bit, because what they've shown is like an ability – what they've shown is that none of these decisions should be game breakers for teams. None of them, right? The Jets. So the cool stat I looked up this week was Trey Lance and Zach Wilson are the first two top 10 quarterbacks to be backups for the team that drafted them in year 3 since Matt Leinart in 2006.
Wow!
So they're like the first like guys who by year 3 couldn't beat out somebody. And right, it was Leinart couldn't beat out Kurt Warner, Hall of Famer. And then, like, now these two guys are, assuming Lance stays, they're backups on their own team in year 3. That's hasn't happened in forever.
Given what happened to the Niners with injuries last year, obviously they had to go to a fourth quarterback, and even that fell by the wayside due to injury in the playoff game with Josh Johnson. Do you think Kyle Shanahan is sincere when he's like, I'd actually like him to stick around as the third string quarterback?
I think so, and you know, there were teams that pushed really heavily for that third quarterback rule. So one thing, you know, if you are trying to handicap who's going to make these teams, you know, pre-CBA in 2011, there was a rule where you could dress a third quarterback, he counted as inactive, and he only came in the game in emergencies like the one you saw in that game. That rule is back this year. So you might see more third quarterbacks stay on teams, and you may see a different draft strategy as a result.
Brandon Allen, also on the Niners depth chart as well. Same agent for Darnold and Trey Lance. You wonder how much he was involved in. Make a decision, Niners. I want to do something with one of these guys. We'll come back. Eric Eager on all the divisions, and what he thinks about my bets next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Throughout the NFL preseason, the VSiN experts are busy evaluating every team to give you the betting edge. Our updated NFL betting guide is already out, of course, and it'll help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with picks from every on-air host, team-specific preseason analysis, how to use VSiN betting splits, and football contest strategies. Oh, contest strategies. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19 and reserve your copy of the guide, or take advantage of our football season special and get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl. For only $199, sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin, live from the South Point. Eric Eager, VP at Sumer Sports, and of course, host of the Sumer Sports Show, kind enough to hang out with us in studio. I buried the headline. You are in town for what, sir?
Yeah, the Circa sign-up, right? The millions, and then the Survivor. A few of us had, you know, my podcast, the Sumer Sports Show, with myself and Thomas Dimitroff, were sponsored by Circa Sports. So it's part of all that thing.
That's nice. And you're staying at Circa. The rooms are fabulous.
Amazing, yeah. I would recommend.
I've never stayed in a Circa room. Have you?
No, I haven't stayed. I haven't been in one either, because we've even done.
I haven't been in one either. Yeah.
We've done a couple things for the network out of some of the rooms for what was like the draft or something. I think we had a set up there.
We did, yeah.
Yeah, so
or
no, but
March Madness once.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. But I haven't been in a room either. So yeah, that's good to hear.
I've got 5 NFL bets so far for the season. I want to know from you what you hate, what you like. Like, what's the one you like the most? What's the one you like the least? Here are the 5 bets I've made so far. 2 alternate season win totals. The Giants alt low, which I talked about many times earlier this summer. Win total under 6.5 at +185. I took the Commodores alternate high over 7.5 at +190. Those are sort of a tandem thing in some respect, but not exactly. But there is some relationship between them. Last team to record their first win. I made this bet yesterday at Circa. The Carolina Panthers at 15-1. This is sort of, how could I put this? This was the first NFL draft that I lost on. And I was convinced that C.J. Stroud was going to be the number one pick in the draft. I got him at plus money. I had great, you know, the whole CLV thing. Anyway, it ends up being Bryce Young, as we know. And I still maintain my conviction that I don't think at his size he's going to be all that great. So I got them as the last team to record the first win. Obviously, that's schedule-based as well. Matt LaFleur, coach of the year. I think if he coaches Jordan Love up and they have a good season, he looks great. And then first NFL head coach fired, almost at the exact same 15-1 numbers, these last three, Matt Eberflus of the Chicago Bears. I see a path where if things go bad early for the Bears, he would be the guy to go out first. What do you like best? What do you like least?
Oh, I really like three of those bets a lot.
Well, thank you.
And I think that I actually don't think that you're wrong about the Panthers as far as I don't necessarily think that there was a 100% consensus about that draft pick. And so I like the Panthers to win that division at like 4-1 or so, like depending upon, you know, where the price is. Just because I can't get behind Derek Carr winning a division. I can't get behind Desmond Ritter.
To see it.
I like, you know, Desmond Ritter. I was watching Falcons camp with Thomas, my boss, and like if Desmond Ritter was sitting between us, like you would have a question, like who's the football player?
Really?
Like, he's small. Right. And similar, like we all talk about Bryce Young being tiny.
I was gonna say you were talking about Desmond Ritter.
Was not impressive physically. And so I'm just not in on the Falcons. And I think the party's over for Tampa Bay, right? So by process of elimination, sure. I think Carolina with Reich, Ejiro Evero is the guy. Like no one remembers that Denver's defense was amazing last year because Russ was so terrible, but he was good. So I like the Panthers more maybe than you do. The Packers bet. But phenomenal, right? Because there's so many markers in that head coach, in the coach of the year market, because every coach of the year, except for John Harbaugh, has had kind of what I would consider a mid-tier quarterback. So Baker, Goff, last year's Daniel Jones. Like you look at kind of the markers. It's a team that goes over. It's a team that wins 10 or 11 games. It's never one, you know, with exceptions like Harbaugh, it's always a team that does 10 or 11 games. Not if Andy Reid wins 14, everybody's gonna be like, oh, it's X, Y, and Z. But when a team like barely scrapes over that 10 or 11 wins with a mid-tier quarterback, that guy's gonna win coach of the year. I like LaFleur there. The Eberflus one is interesting for sure. I just don't think they bail after 1 year, but yeah, 15-1, it's pretty solid. And then I like those two. I do think the Giants and Commanders in odds should be flipped in that division. Our win totals at sumersports.com, if you go look at our simulated win totals and everything on our website, we have the Commanders winning more games than the Giants. I would bet into Commanders plus one win in the marketplace head to head with the Giants.
I hope the incomparable Terry McLaurin's incomparable toe is okay after the other night. Kelly, what did you hate the most of those five? I just want to know. I want Kelly to blast one of these.
Oh, your Panthers one. Okay. Panther. We talked about it before you left. We talked about it last week.
You hate that one the most?
Yeah. I kind of err on the side of the Panthers in that division, just like Eric said. Well, we talked about that on Friday before you left.
That division does have a throw all the teams up in the air quality to it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I can, just like Eric said, I cannot get behind the Saints team at all. Like, it is, they might win the dang thing just because all other three teams suck that
home
bad.
Playoff game, baby.
But, I mean, we all know. I mean, yeah. You and I know. If they were doing things right, you wouldn't have brought in Derek Carr. Taysom Hill under center, two-cheek sneak that took his push, just push forward all the way until they outlaw that rule. But they're not going to do it. They're going to bring in Derek Carr. And I can't wait for a Jameis Winston, Derek Carr quarterback.
I just want to thank you for going Tuchus there and not Tush Push. Thank you so much.
There you go.
Appreciate it.
You got to look out for the brand.
Yeah. It's all about the brand. All right, we want to get to your favorite thing. We'll rifle through divisions here momentarily. But last thing, in case people missed it, what was your most surprising or your most off-conventional football take of the year was what again?
It is, to me, I think it's AFC North might – the AFC North to me, and maybe this isn't off-kilter, but everybody looks at the AFC West or the NFC East, and I think the AFC North could have four playoff teams.
AFC North could have four playoff teams. There's got to be a prop for that somewhere.
Woo, yeah, there is.
You want to do the same exercise with Kelly's bets here real quick? What do you like best? What do you like?
Kelly's bet more here.
Kelly's all over the place.
Yeah, I got a few more.
All right, Jags to win the AFC South.
Favorite bet of the year.
He's got multiple.
Where did you get -105?
Oh, that is Kelly. Off. That should be 150. Yeah, that is 150. I was going to say. That is off.
Kelly's got his own book.
That is the best bet.
105, it's a great bet.
And he's got multiple Steelers unders, multiple Patriots unders, and then Raiders and Titans for fewest wins at big prices, 15 and 21-1 respectively.
I like the Titans bet the most. Vrabel, it's funny. You look at the AFC, there's like, I did my power rankings on Twitter kind of tongue-in-cheek, but there's like four teams that have not a ton going for them other than a great coach. Denver, Pittsburgh, New England, I think that with the Titans, it's Vrabel. It's like, I don't necessarily know if I can get to the mechanism of why he's good. And, in 2021, they got the one seed in the AFC. They played like the most active players of all time in that league because of COVID and injuries and stuff. And last year, they were sort of trending in the same direction, and it like fell off the table. And I just don't know if they had an answer for that. I don't know if they have an answer now.
Yeah, that was an interesting interesting phrase. You can't quite get to the mechanism of why Vrabel is so good. I tell the story when I used to be with Dr. Bob. He had an NFL guy at one point. Nice, great guy. His model was fine. But every time he had a Patriots game, he would like be betting against the Patriots, right? And Bill Belichick would just be this thing that he couldn't quite quantify. Finally, we're like, you can't do this anymore. Like, you can't keep betting against the Patriots. And this is like Belichick prime light with Vrabel, right?
Well, and that's where I get to like my least favorite was the Steelers stuff. Like Mike Tomlin is phenomenal.
Hey, do you know this stat about Mike Tomlin? Are you aware?
Yeah, I'm aware. but with Tomlin, I don't see the Tomlin. We have this model at Sumer called basically how much win probability do you add on in-game decisions? So fourth downs, timeout avoidance, delay of game avoidance, all that stuff. And Tomlin consistently ranks among the league's worst. Like
really?
He doesn't go for fourth downs. He doesn't,
delay of game avoidance.
I'm going to add to this model this year how many times teams fair catch kickoffs, because the dumb teams are going to take the kickoff out to the 19 and the smart teams are going to fair catch and take it at the 25.
Sure.
Thank you very much. And I know the Steelers are going to try to own the nerds and run every kickoff back to the 18-yard line.
Own the nerds.
And yet they're going to win. They're going to go 9-7-1. Like, we just know this, right? So I get a little worried about that wager. But it makes sense. When I look at the Steelers fundamentally, that roster isn't amazing. And the quarterback, I think, had a good stretch. Their offense last year from week 10 on was fifth in EPA per play. So or fourth. I can't remember. The top five. And when I was doing my numbers for the season, I'm like, why are the Steelers' offense popping up? And it's like the second half of the year, they were very efficient. And so that one, I'm higher on the Steelers than I think maybe Kelly is.
Well, and Eric, to your point, this is more of I'm so high on Bengals, Ravens, Browns that it's almost got to be an odd man out situation. Yeah. So that's where the nine I had to bet under, and we haven't really had a chance to talk about this a whole lot. I don't know how many alt win totals I'm in love with. These are more just kind of sprinkles to the bigger main win total bet that I have on the Patriots and the Steelers.
I can't wait for the Tomlin post game presser towards the end of the year. Was like, once with that steely gaze that he has. Once again, I've owned the nerds. Eric Eager.
Well, they're gonna run one kickoff back for a touchdown and prove us all wrong. Of course, every other kick's gonna go.
All right, we'll rifle through divisions, see if there's a bet in all of them, or whichever division there is one in. Eric Eager's got you next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Attention BetMGM customers, have a friend who loves sports as much as you do? Well, here's a chance for both of you to earn a $100 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account and click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state you use BetMGM in. Then once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, they'll receive a $100 bonus. And once your friend places a bet with their bonus and the wager settled, you'll receive a $100 bonus as well. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make make appropriate choices. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 and over to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 30 days. By the way, the bonus expires in 30 days, I should say. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Massachusetts, Mississippi, and Nevada. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Jason Stark, Gil is back. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. I appreciate that, Jason. Thank you. Mickey Baca, Survivor Talk with Gil and Kelly is in the air. Looking forward to weekly/daily discussions. Let's do this, Gil. Oh, there's nothing better than Survivor. 3JackH3131, love the Survivor Talk. I mapped out four paths to victory this season with a smidge of difference among each, focused on home teams, playing with rest and travel advantage, primetime home teams, and a little bit of fade the 3-4 projected worst teams. Jesse Welch, great job betting the long shots. Great job, Gil, getting the long shots plug in there. Top five under-advertised podcast going. So true. You guys are the most publicized podcast in the history of podcasts. Good for you.
We have that massive banner ad that's on the Circa side screen. So yeah, almost every time you see a Circa show, it's all over it. Yeah.
Nemesis Enforcer. Love this. If you ever need a body double, Gil, I think Eric Eager is your guy. He just mentioned stats class. Freshman year at Georgetown, had an old professor that gave same final, counted for 100% of grade, and you could use notes. Oh, Georgetown. My buddy went to Georgetown. He said similar things about different classes. That's very interesting, Nemesis Enforcer. Jamie Leva, glad you're back. Interesting convo about the contest strategies with Kelly. Thoughts on multiple Survivor entries, one for season long and others for quarter prizes, etc.? I don't play for quarter. All about season. But we're talking quarter prizes. We're talking about millions, right? Not Survivor.
Right.
Millions. Yeah, no, I'm not, let's put it this way. I'm not good enough at the season long millions to even have the nerve to play, you know, to strategize for a quarter. Let's put it that way. David Griffin on DK on DraftKings, you can parlay the tournament winner. We're talking about golf now, right? FedEx Cup versus the 72 hole bets on DK. You can parlay the tournament winner with and without starting strokes. Interesting way to play the without, if you think only a few guys could win with strokes in the Tour Championship. Backyard Driving Range Pro, Circa Rooms Showers have the best water pressure of any shower I've ever taken in my life. Highly recommend. You won't regret it.
That's huge.
That is huge.
That is huge.
Trip Tepper, DraftKings has division with all four teams to make the playoffs, like you talked about, at 11-1. He said, I'd want to at least have 15-1 to make that bet. And then Scott Weston, winner, winner. My fantasy team is so going to be Own the Nerds. Love you guys. All great tweets about stuff we've talked about. You want to rifle through these division by division?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's go division by division. If there is a bet there, you'll let us know which you think is the best. If there isn't, that's fine. You're not required to select a bet in each, but we'll just do the grid. I want to start AFC East or NFC East here, Kelly?
We'll start AFC East.
AFC East.
We'll start with that.
We'll put the grid up here. This is, we have to win the division, obviously conference and Super Bowl too, but mainly we have win totals and the division odds on the left side of the screen. Is there Bills, Jets, Dolphins, Patriots a best bet in any of these categories for any of these teams?
Yeah, I think championship, Super Bowl odds, if we can say it, 9-1 for Buffalo to me are okay. I would, plus 120 to win the division for Buffalo is plus EV in my opinion.
Plus 120 Buffalo to win the AFCs. These are numbers quoted at DraftKings. AFC North, is that where we're going next? AFC North, the division that you just talked about, is you think there might be four teams going to the postseason. And what do you like here?
Yeah, when I look at this one, it's got to be, the almost 4-1, plus 380 for the Browns to win the division. I think that's a popular one, and I think to me it's more of an intangible thing. I'm just fading the Ravens a little bit, but I think the Browns at plus 380 to win that division is the best bet.
Brownies at plus 380 to win the division. That made a lot of Browns up.
1989, the last time they won the division, and it was the AFC Central.
Was that a Kozar year?
Kozar, yeah. Kozar and Bud Carson was the coach. 2 years before Bill Belichick was
Bud
the coach.
Carson.
Yeah.
Bernie Kozar, has there ever been a less athletic quarterback than that dude?
He had a hunched back.
Yeah.
it was a rough look.
I think that answers the question. AFC South, the Jags. At the top, of course.
It's Colts 6-1 for me. There is a path for the Colts being good. Anthony Richardson. They have one of the, I think that if I look at my numbers at sumersports.com, by the way, if you want to look at them, they have a top five easiest schedule in football. Both Colts and Texans. I would not be surprised if you saw them win 9 or 10 games.
Wow, that's a bold one right there. Kelly, if you can get Kelly's number on the Jags, different story. Different story entirely. Yes. AFC West, where the Chiefs reign supreme. Chargers. Kelly, by the way, we left out one of Kelly's bets. Kelly, you did make a Chargers bet?
I made a Chargers bet yesterday for them to make the playoffs, just minus 115.
He's going to be that guy this year.
I'm going to be that guy this year. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid this year.
I was that guy last year.
I've stayed away the past 2 years. I'm the guy drinking the Kool-Aid this year.
They got to the playoffs last year. They just couldn't hold a 27-point lead. What do you like here?
I think minus 165 is actually short for Kansas City, and that's weird considering last year it was kind of flipped. It was like plus 140 to plus 160 or so. I think that they have just such a path with the Broncos, Chargers, and Raiders kind of beating each other up. Be that as it may, I do think this is off the board. Broncos 2-1 to make the playoffs ish in the marketplace to me is a solid play on a good head coach. Yeah.
So a good head coach, but where do you stand on Russell Wilson? That last year was anomalous, or that that's
no, I think he's
him.
Bad. But we had 2 years ago we had a 9-8 Saints team quarterbacked by Simeon, Winston, Book, and Hill. That was, Peyton's last year. I think he can do something. And that defense is similar to as good as how the Saints defenses were when he was taking that team to the playoffs repeatedly.
All right, to the NFC, which, of course, was the better conference when we were kids, but not even close now. The NFC East, where the Eagles are at the top, and they, of course, are the short shot to get back to the Super Bowl. What do you like here in the NFC East?
Commanders over 6.5.
Let's go, baby. You're a Sam Howell guy?
I talked about in the first segment, basically, like, don't overreact to, like, the most immediate thing that happened to you. Howell is, like, the classic example of, like, he was the betting favorite to go first overall going into the 2021 season.
Yeah.
Struggles. But he had 1,100 yards rushing if he took away sacks, even in that down year for UNC. Like, I think he'll be fine. That offensive line did a good job of protecting the other night.
Well, yeah, against the Ravens backups, but
yeah,
yes.
But they did the Ravens did a lot of stunts and a lot of blitzes and everything. I think Eric Bieniemy is a plus EV kind of OC for them.
The commodes will go as far as that offensive line takes them, mm-hmm. for sure. Yep. NFC North, a lot of different opinions on this division this
Everything
year.
Everything Packers. 7.5, 4-1. Yesterday when I was recording a show for The Hammer, that number went from plus 403 to like plus 370, which is just like 2%. But like while we were doing the 10-minute segment or whatever, like I think that the Packers are kind of the Lions of this year. And like I apologize to everybody for how like bad the numbers are for the Lions now. If you want to bet Detroit, I think there's no more a bigger sucker play than the Lions now after we restored the heck out of the roar last
yes,
year.
Yes, we did.
And now there's no value left in backing them anymore. But I think the Packers are turning into that team this year where a lot of people are saying, if Jordan Love just colors between the lines, this team's going to be pretty good.
I love that. You said that last week. I love that analogy. If he just colors between the lines. How's Pizzola doing, by the way? Is he calmed down after Bet Bash? Is he okay? He got a little riled up.
He was on one, yeah.
Oh, he got riled up.
Yeah.
Definitely riled up. NFC South. Saints, Falcons, Panthers, Bucks. Somebody's got to win. Something's got to give.
Yeah. Panthers 4-1 to me is the bet I like there.
Okay.
To win the division.
And then finally, the NFC West. Or again, it's going to be Sam Darnold as Brock Purdy's backup with the Niners.
Yeah, I think that this is my numbers don't support this. This is just me, like, kind of qualitatively. That this is a two-team race after September. And the Niners, everybody talks about the Niners and how, Shanahan can do it with any quarterback. That's actually not true. Like, when C.J. Beathard or Nick Mullins had to play, they were bad. This team, since 2015, has either won enough games to go to the NFC title game or lost 10 games. And, if Purdy slash Darnold, if that thing goes pear-shaped, like the Seahawks kind of have the division. And at 2-1, I think it's a fairly solid bet.
Seahawks.
Yeah.
2-1 to win the division. Plus 195 is what we're showing at DraftKings right now. All right, before you go, and thank you again. We love having you. If you could be here every time, we'd love it. Tell everybody where your Sumer Sports show can be found, how many times a week you do it.
Yeah, so we have Sumer Sports on YouTube, Sumer Sports on Twitter. We have sumersports.com. We just put an update to our website. We have, divisional odds, win totals, all that kind of stuff. We're going to have stats pages throughout the year, both offensive and defensive, advanced stats for people to look at. And, hopefully come October for the fantasy players, we're going to have a large language model fantasy bot.
Oh.
Imagine instead of logging into Twitter and asking, no offense, Matthew Berry who to start and sit. Imagine asking a computer who to start and sit.
No offense, Matthew.
Yeah. So kind of replicating that idea. So we're gonna have that on the website fairly soon for fantasy players.
Eric Eager, VP at Sumer Sports. By the way, Sumer, it occurs to me, I should probably spell it S-U-M-E-R. That's S-U-M-E-R on Sumer. Great seeing you, man. Thanks for coming down.
Thanks for having me.
Eric Giger, everybody, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Unscripted with the Crack Man on the other side.